This is RÚV English Radio with Darren Adam, daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, RÚV.
Hello, it's RÚV English Radio. My name's Darren Adam. Thanks very much for your company today. I'm joined by Anne Peters on Zoom from the south coast of Iceland. She is in Vík today. She says it is raining. I think the temperature has increased in the last couple of days. We're having a conversation at the beginning of January. But Anne, we're looking ahead to something that's going to really kick into top gear once we get into April of this year. You're with the Katla UNESCO Global Geopark. So tell me about your role there, and then we can get into this very exciting development at this amazing part of the country.
I've come on to Katla Geopark to create a new form of tourism. And it is science-driven tourism, because there's a lot of things that are changing and that are not being monitored at our glaciers and most certainly our coastlines. So Katla Geopark has been a bit in transition. You know, we were once a list of beautiful locations, which we still are. Don't get me wrong on that. But we're expanding to be a data resource and a cultivator and a, you know, change agent when it comes to tourism in Iceland. You know,
Sorry to cut across you there. The bit of a delay with the Zoom, but just to sort of lay out what that really means. You've talked about people taking on the role of citizen scientists. So this is about getting tourists involved in monitoring much of this area, be it infrastructure on the roads, hiking areas, farms, whatever it is. This is for people who want to do a bit more than just passively enjoy the beauty of the area.
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, so let's first talk about what science tourism is. Right? Or citizen science, like being a citizen scientist. What is a citizen scientist? So it is science that is anyone can contribute to, right? Like, you know, the layman person to the actual scientist to anyone in between. My mom, for example, is really excited about, you know, what we're doing here. And it is to raise awareness about climate change. And we collect and compare data from each mission, right? So that we have visibility into this. It encourages people to learn and also care more about the planet by rethinking adventure, you know, and this is an opportunity to transition what we call adventure tourism now or last chance tourism to something impactful that is going to leave a positive legacy behind. You know, it's going to be an opportunity for someone maybe that has visited Iceland previously, and then they're going to come back because they want to leave a stamp on Icelandic history. You know, in that idea. So it's not just, it's an interactive, more of a hands-on way for folks to be able to contribute to something bigger than what they are.
What would people be expected to do? For example, one of the programs, I guess, to use that word, that people can take part in at the Sandfjallsjökull Glacier, they can help to map the glacier. What's that actually going to mean when someone turns up and they want to be part of this experience?
Yeah.
What will they be expected to do?
Well, so let me take one step back and tell you about the overall objective of Katla Geopark in launching these expeditions.
Okay.
Because, you know, there's been a little skepticism with some of the tour operators that are also, you know, in Katla Geopark because we're a nonprofit, right? And a nonprofit is going to be leading expeditions. So the idea that I've come to Katla Geopark is creating a triangle. And at the top of that triangle, we have research at the very top leading the way, right? We have the geoscientists that need this data that we're going to be cultivating. And then on the other side of it, we have the precious experiences for the visitors that are going to come to Katla Geopark. We're empowering them to be these token citizen scientists and take on the reins of an actual, you know, scientist collecting this data. And then on the other side, the third side of that triangle, we have that ability to strengthen the local companies that are operating within Katla Geopark and the communities within them so that they can be part of the expeditions in somewhere, you know, in some way. So we have like the super jeep teams that are going to take us up to, you know, Sandfjallsjökull or Katla Glacier, where tours are already operating, for example, and the hotels and the restaurants and, you know, all of these different people and places that are within, we're bringing everybody up with us, right? So this triangle effect will then kind of, you know, be the best of both worlds to be able to, you know, fund the research that we need. So then if you think about if we're going up to Sandfjallsjökull, and one of the leaders for Sandfjallsjökull, just, you know, as I'm sure you've talked about in one of your previous episodes, we had an outburst flood. that came down there. You know, we had actually what, three that came past this past, you know, summer and into the fall. And it's not a place where we have outburst floods with Katla and the caldera. So something is changing inside of the subglacial volcano. Why?
And for anyone who doesn't know, you talk about an outburst flood. That's a flood of water from the glacier itself.
It is, yes. So there's some. So Katla is a subglacial volcano. For those of you that might not be knowing of that knowledge, she sits underneath the Mirdejoko volcano, or sorry, Mirdejoko glacier. She, a subglacial volcano, is underneath. So when we have an outburst flood, there is action that's happening to create meltwater and melting underneath the caldera, and it pushes the water out into the ocean, basically. And it has to have a way to do that. And history says that the two places that we have had outburst floods that should be coming from the caldera is Katla Glacier and the outlet of Entejokal. And Entejokal is actually one that is unmonitored. And we also have Sandfellsjökull. Sandfellsjökull is the one where the outburst flood came this past fall. And that's unexpected. So something is changing within the caldera that we need to have eyes on.
So there is something to monitor, certainly. Let's get back to what tourists or citizen scientists might be expected to do, or the activities they would take part in. Obviously, it's not cosplay. They're going to be making important scientific measurements. But what exactly will they be doing? How will that happen?
Yeah, so it depends on if we're doing the coastal monitoring. So it's broken down into two avenues. We have coastal mapping, right? And we have a geoscientist currently, Johannes, that is on staff that is started mentoring about a few programs with school kids that are down here. And that's talking about the erosion and the accretion of and storm recovery of those areas. And what they do when they go to coastal mapping is that they may meet on site, or they might jump into a 4x4 of one of our partners, Geopark partners, or they might jump into an ATV. They go down to the beach, and we have profiles that are on the beach, let's say stakes in the sand. And then they go with a GPS that's on basically a stick. And you can see this on our Instagram. We have an Instagram called Katla Geopark Expeditions, if people want to see. But it's a big stick that has a computer. And then there's a GPS head. There's mapped out actual like stakes in the sand. So you'll go from these designated points, and you map to the ocean, and you see the different changes that are kind of happening. So this is something that we compare over time. It's not something, and then they will take drone photos, right? We have a drone that is on, you know, they're taking ground photos, they're doing these GPS measurements, and then they are then going to process some of the data, or at least see how it's kind of processed. And then they see the graphs and the ebb and the flow of how the changes and the profiles have, you know, changed over time. On the glacier side of things, we're going to go up to, you know, the glacier outlet in a 4x4. So we're heading into the highlands, you know, very dynamic areas. So it's, you know, they get to be able to see these amazing places. But then we are also taking them onto a hike up into the areas. Maybe it's a short hike that's going up to Katla Glacier, where it's 15 minutes to the ice edge, or 10 minutes, depending on where the Jeep can park. Or Sandfellsjökull, we have an hour hike to get to the glacier outlet, right? There's different things. Entejokal, we have a 3-hour hike, for example. You know, so it's once you're there, you are then GPS hiking. You are then putting a stake down. You're mapping to see what the changes are in that area. And then the data gets processed by our team after. And then we compare the measurements and the profiles after.
So having an interest in all of this is obviously important, but it doesn't sound like any prior knowledge or skill or expertise is needed on the part of somebody that wants to be a citizen scientist.
Right. So these are hands-on immersive experiences that are designed for adventurers, nature enthusiasts, and those eager to play a role in scientific discovery. That's the bottom line for, you know, who we're after right now.
And this will all launch, I think you said, in April or thereabouts, but there are details already on the website, which we will link to on the page accompanying the show from Roof English Radio, so people can take a look and see what they think. This fits, doesn't it, I suppose, with the idea that we all want tourism to be more sustainable and arguably less damaging. This is a way, you might suggest, in which it could actually be useful beyond its economic benefit.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is actually one of my personal and professional goals here, is that why not channel tourism to have a positive effect both on the Icelandic nature and our culture and society? You know, being able to, you know, have these expeditions where we're cultivating, you know, and deepening the knowledge of individuals on, you know, for our beautiful island. and also educate people at the same time is important, you know, as our island is changing with the climate, you know, issues and everything that's surfacing. You know, I have geoscientists around the world now being interested in what we're doing here, you know, and potentially partnering with us on like our 12-day circumnavigation that we're going to have down the line and these other aspects that we have. So it is a really important avenue for us to change how tourism is looked at. Adventure tourism needs to make this transition to being science-driven and impactful in that way.
I know that our neighbors on the Faroe Islands have invited tourists to come, and for a particular point in the year, they are expected to help with basically rebuilding some of the infrastructure, you know, rebuilding paths and fences and things. This is a similar idea we're talking about, but on a much larger and more fundamental scale, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And I believe the Faroe Islands one sells out every year because their capacity is only so much.
Where will tourists be accommodated with all of this? Because obviously, if they're going hiking towards glaciers and such like, is accommodation part of these packages, or will it be, or can it be?
Yeah, it can be. Yeah, absolutely. So with like some of our coastal mapping experiences, it's an opt-in avenue on folks, but we're looking to patronize the hotels and accommodation points that are within operating within Catlett Geopark to again strengthen the community that we have within.
And are you getting guidance from the scientific community about the kind of data that they need and would want from this?
Yes. We have had meetings with the university in Reykjavik. Also, we have a geoscientist on staff here. And then we also, I've reached out to, you know, all the different polar institutes and different glaciologists that are, you know, leading the way in this world. Like, for example, yesterday I talked to Heda, who is a glaciologist that's in Svalbard right now, and she leads a project called the Living Ice Project, and she does a form of citizen scientist as well. So our collaboration efforts are scientific and are, you know, I'm getting advice for, you know, how we're doing, you know, we're saving up to buy a lighter drone so that we can measure the depths of the ice and all of that. You know, we're doing what we can with the tools that we have, but we're hoping that, you know, this will take off and then we'll have, you know, our research funded. That means also the tools will get better as time goes on as well.
Wonderful. As I say, a link to all of this on the page accompanying the show from Roof English Radio. April is when it is all set to begin. And I'm sure there's someone listening to this already, Anne, who's thinking that, you know, this is a perfect combination of a chance to see this beautiful part of the country and also to preserve it as well, or to do something useful that maybe helps to preserve it a bit longer. And thank you very much indeed. Anne Peters from the Katla UNESCO Global Geopark, talking about the new science-driven expeditions and the chance for you maybe to be a citizen scientist later in the year. It's Roof English Radio. I'm Darren Adam, and you can get in touch with us anytime. We are english@ruv.is.
There's more from Roof English, with all the news from Iceland in English at ruv.is/English. Roof English Radio is a daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, Roof.